Welcome to Spiritually Raw, the ass-whipping truth, where spirits meet skeptics and consciousness connects. Together, we expose and explore controversial truths, myths, and theories surrounding the spirit world. We are your hosts, April and Jay Matta. Welcome, everybody, to Spiritually Raw. How are you this fantastic day? Hope the world is working out well for you. We have a fantastic guest, Mr. Paul Quinton, here to share his journey in his life and how it can make a dramatic impact in your journey, in your life. Listen, don't forget to follow us on Instagram. All the links will be in the description below so you can get a vibe for what's going on. We give some pretty cool daily tips there.
Manifestation tips.
Absolutely. Manifestation. We all talked about that, right? Paul's information will be in the description below, and also his new show. He's going to be on Gnostic TV. That'll all be in the description below too for you to check him out. But so listen, a little bit about Paul, though, yes?
And we give a manifestation tips. You're going to give awakening tips.
This is so cool. You're going
to
love this guy.
To hear about this. Paul Quinton, he is the founder and teacher of the Alignment Modality. It is patented in 35 countries. His releasing of his channel books, they are through Spirit's Voices to assist humanity in shifting into the new Earth's golden age as the residents of the
Renaissance is what she's trying to say, everybody.
Renaissance.
Consciousness establishes itself. Make sure to check out all of his information and his links at alignmentmodality.com. And as Jay mentioned as well, he's also going to be a new host on the Gnostic TV network,
which we're so excited about. Paul, welcome, my brother. How are you? It's good to see you here.
Thank you, guys. Thanks. It's wonderful to be on. It's good.
So, first of all, you know, thank you for your service, because I know it takes a lot of dedication, you know, to do what you do and really just get this work out in humanity. And it is there. You go through a lot. So let's learn about what you go through and, you know, what it means and how it can really impact people. So this Viridian mission that they're doing, Ray, talk about that. What is your connection to that? Is that a conscious relationship you have, or is it unconscious? Can you speak to that?
Yeah, absolutely. So just a quick background. So the Viridian consciousness is an aspect of my soul body. So they've been instrumental in helping the planet over a long time. This is the information they've given me. They are sort of a council of 10, and they don't have duality. They're 10th density beings, so they can show different aspects through that andrology. And so when they collect their collective energy, and they've actually put a hologram around their planet of our nature, and allows them to sort of move onto the planet easy, but also understand what's going on, because they're obviously observing Earth, how she's growing, how she's evolving, because obviously we're extensions of the Earth body. We're carbon, right? At the end of the day, and water. So really, that Viridian mission is something that I'm consciously connected with. So I can just sort of go into a meditation or just start writing. I channel that way. Although now I stop writing, I just channel directly now through my voice. So I just dictate it on the iPad. It's much easier. And so that frequency is flowing much easier now. And it took me probably a good 6 months of sitting every night at midnight just to open everything up and clear those timelines so I could receive that information uninterrupted. Because the problem with a lot of channelers is if they've got clogged energy bodies, then the astral plane can influence that. It can come through wrong. It can come through their own denial or their sort of understanding of what reality is. And so, and we all get that. I mean, there's still a filter. But it really, to get that clearer information, yeah, it took about 6 months of really connecting in to really build that program. Yeah. I mean, they're part of me anyway, but obviously I've come into a 3D body. So you know what the veil is like. So yeah, the conditioned state.
Why 12 midnight? Because you were very specific about that. And what was the process? What did you do at 12 midnight to get into this clearance, this frame of mind to start allowing this information, these downloads to start coming in?
So, they said you can channel at midnight or channel at 12 o'clock. Those were the two times when the energy can come down easier on the planet. It's also 12 at midday is when your energy is the highest, so you can actually receive easier. Between 12 and 4, and the ionosphere starts to slow down, so you have less chatter. So the frequency around the planet, especially in the northern hemisphere, obviously the south will be different, it's easier to get through. But also, I'm more relaxed. I'm in a deeper state. You know, your energy is slowing down, so you can actually receive. And I find my meditations, even now, are much stronger. in late in the evening. So that was really the process. That was from them. They just told me do it 12 midnight, 12, midday. So yeah.
And then what exactly would take place? Like, how did you go into the state?
Well, very simple, actually. I was, because I know I've got a lot of friends that do this work as well, and some of them get taken over by spirit, they embody and they start to voice it. My mother used to speak with a man's voice. It was very interesting. But for me, I don't do anything consciously. I just switch and I just start speaking. So it's fluid, like I'm talking to you. I don't really have an experience that you could actually, that's tangible to sort of, it just flows. I get a connection. I get the meridian system. So I get the chills on the skin. And there's almost like, there is a sort of, sometimes depending on who's coming through, you sort of have this visual experience. And it's almost looking through a kaleidoscope. And that can come in many forms. But then that just is probably 5-10 seconds. And then I just start speaking. But generally, it's just a quick turn on. Yeah.
Is there reasons, Paul, that sometimes another voice will come, like your mother, a man's voice will come through versus you being able to just make the information your own, for lack of a better phrase? If you would, have you found any reasoning behind that, why some people actually embody that, or why their spirits are like they're taking over, I guess?
I think it just depends on who they're working with. If it's a lower frequency being, it might be harder to start voicing. So from what I understand, it just depends on your cellular DNA makeup and who you're connecting with, as far as I know. But I always used to say the old school of the spirit coming in the body is the old earth. That's the old earth way of doing it.
I got you.
I think it's evolved a bit more because the planet consciousness is lighter now. So you can actually bring the frequency through much easier. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
And are your downloads, you hear people talking about, I received a download, I got this download, I got to get a download. What does that mean to you?
So, again, yeah, download in the sense of, like the theta, for example, they sort of download the feelings, the belief systems, all the rest of it. What spirit told me is that don't work with that old earth energy anymore in the sense that they said, if you... don't work with belief systems anymore, because they said belief systems, if you change a belief, if you haven't changed the emotional charge that's connected to the belief system, it's going to come back. And this is why a lot of New Year's resolutions don't work, because they're trying to do it through the mind, but they're not removing the emotional energy or the interdimensional energy that's affecting it. So downloading, in my sense, really, I see it as more of an awakening, because when you're grounded and you're awake, the soul can drop consciously in the body and you have access to the omnipresent universe. And depending on your psychic intuitive development is how much information you can take in. And the more you've cleared your emotional body, that information is going to come through much clearer. And there's not going to be a filter of dysfunctional dishonesty or resistance or denial. So for me, downloading really, in some ways, is the old earth terminology, but it's okay because you can download frequency, DNA. We download the algorithm, which is the male and female algorithm. So we work a lot with that on the cellular level in the workshops. So yeah. But in the old sense of downloading, I like to think of it more as just surrender, be present. It's not so much about ascension, because we're already ascended. We're multidimensional beings. We're already everywhere. What we're not being is human. So spirit has said very clearly, they need us to just stop, surrender, let the feminine energy move through us. Then the soul can ground consciously whilst walking in a physical body, which it was in the old light cycle. So when we had, the ancient light cycles, we were constantly connected to the unseen, talking to our soul, like we're talking to each other. It was normal.
Yeah, exactly. Not only that, but when you hear people talk about downloading information, I think for a lot of people, it seems like unattainable.
Yeah.
You have to have some special gift.
Yes.
But when you're talking it from the point of view of surrendering, everybody can surrender.
Absolutely. And that's
they
the
just, they just got to get their
that's
ego
really
out of the way,
good.
Right?
I like that.
Yeah. They got to get the ego. Exactly. And when everyone says to you, well, I'm just a builder. I just work in a supermarket. How am I going to change the planet? Well, right. Everyone can go through self-inquiry, because the information is passed on a cellular level. So when you work on yourself and you're doing this work, you go to work the next day, you go to the restaurant, the shopping center. If people were walking past, you want to pick up that frequency, the cell's going to communicate instantly. And they'll go, right, I want that. And then they'll start to awaken something inside of themselves. Because if their soul's ready for self-awakening, they're going to awaken, they're going to wake up the next day and they go, do you know what? I need to go and do a meditation course. I need to go and do a self-empowerment course. Because the information's already there. We're already walking it. It's already in manifestation. It just needs to be turned on. So,
Paul, let me get your perspective on ascension again, because you said we really no need to ascend. We're already there. We're multidimensional beings. You know,
I've heard anyone say that too.
So tell me, when you hear people, you know, are saying that, where are they getting the information from your opinion, that says we still yet need to ascend? If you do this, you will ascend. Or when is that day of ascension? I can't wait to ascend. You know, we've seen all these phrases and quotes all over, right? Can you let us know, does that come from a concept of nefarious forces, if you would, to try to throw us off? Or is it just, you know, where from your perspective, what you've been able to get from your counsel, does that information come from?
Yeah, I think that belief system ascension is seeded in the old religious programming. And now that that frequency is now manifesting into the new age movement, but it's still coming from the roots. However, on the nefarious side, yes, definitely. There's an ingestion of misinformation in the new age movement, deliberately trying to knock us off center. So the conspiracy theories, and Spirit said, yeah, most of them are true, but they put those theories there in the way they debunk it to actually attack light workers. Because if a light worker goes into self-doubt, then they're going to hold the frequency for the conditioned human being that doesn't know anything, you see. So there is a war going on, but ultimately also, that is a reflection of our own shadow self. They can't exist if we don't, it doesn't exist in ourselves. So instead of seeing it as a battle, just embrace your shadow, your duality, and it takes on a whole different frequency. And then that nefarious energy can't affect you, because your vibration is accepted that it's actually your other end of your reality. Because the primordial concepts of light and dark, that's what's divided our cells. When a cell is unilateral, you can't receive divine current. So you can't receive information or the truth. So, of course, you're still in the conditioned state.
Channeling just fascinates me, the amount of information that someone can receive. What's the best advice they have ever given you?
That's a question. I've never been asked that one. The best advice they could ever give me. Well, they've had quite a few, but I would say the gentleness and the vulnerability is where the power lies. And when you can drop back into that sensitive, vulnerable state, and it's true, and because we have to become a hardwired human being just to live here, and you know what school's like, we all remember that. And I think just hearing that and saying, don't get angry at the lies, get passionate about the truth. And when I heard those two things, something shifted in me, and I sort of remembered something unconsciously. And I feel that because our polarity is in so much tension at the moment, those two sayings for me allows me to sort of just stay in myself, my present self. So I'd say that they're simple sayings, but they were powerful for me, where they might not be for someone else. But yeah.
Getting back to the concept of light and dark, if we could, Paul. So, you know, we're instructed at this point a lot of times is like, well, the light is one, the dark is evil. But what I'm gathering is that really this is all within us. It's we are light, we are dark. We just need to just get them to play nice to each other, pretty much, right? And is that fair to say it that way?
Yeah. Because for me, it's the same thing. You know, the shadow. I've talked to some shadow beings. I've gone in. I actually work with some. I'll talk about that another time. And it's the shadow is the same consciousness, because it's just a reflection of itself. So you saw that in COVID. You saw the agenda of COVID from the shadow that created it for what they wanted to do, but also the light. And you could also see them, and they were mirroring each other. And the shadow was actually putting its hand up and going, hey, we're making fun of you, humanity. Mm-hmm. And it was meant to awaken things in people. And it did, because there's been so much talk and awakening since then. So you can see how it's working. But also, I think the shadow and the light is complements each other. It always has. But because of religion, and because we've been so disconnected with misinformation, over the time, we further pushed it apart. And the problem is getting it to come back into alignment now. Mm-hmm. So, for example, bipolar is actually divine intention merging with the human being to create polarity resonance, to break one polarity against another. So that's really going on. So when I first started channeling, I said, what's all this polarity resonance and oscillation and all this? So I had to do a separate channeling to understand it. And it's talking about everything swings in oscillation. It allows protons, neutrons to move through the atmosphere, for the galaxy. And it's the same as a wave coming in and out. And they want us to get this unilateral hold out, because that's what disease and disorder, that's what it births from, unilateral hold in the emotional body. This moves into the organs. So really light and dark, when you can understand the shadow, which is all the denied aspects of yourself. And we're not talking about shadow beings. That's a separate thing. This is your denial, your self-betrayal, where you've abandoned yourself, where you haven't listened to intuition. And that really is that process of moving through that. But the shadow work that we do, we remove vaccine programs, we remove religious orders, radioactivity, heavy metals, but we change the frequency in the body. So
how do you actually do that? What is the technique that you're doing, that utilizing to do that?
So they're all activations. So if I was in a group setting with the students, they get into a space, and then with spirit come in and do all the work. I just hold the space. Spirit does. It's the workshop's fantastic, because it's a non-physical workshop, so it's quite interesting. I'm just watching. No, I participate, obviously.
Yeah, I'm sure you're doing more than just watching.
Yeah.
So the religious movement, the New Age movement, is it kind of almost a lot of the same kind of rhetoric, just repackaged in different words in today's world? What are you thinking on that?
I think so in some ways. But I think when spirituality rebirthed itself back in, it's gone through many cycles, but in the 70s, it really started to come back on again. And I think what happened is the consciousness on the planet was very dense at the time, because we were just starting to awaken again. And that's why we see the chakras with the color charts, but all chakras are rainbow. They're all as equal as each other. And we work with 9, not 7. So when they brought that new age of spirituality through, it was a more condensed state. So we're now understanding that, you know, this 9 chakra system, we work within 9 realities of dimensions. And so it's taking on a whole new understanding of light and shadow, but also simplifying the process. Because the one thing they did say to me is that human beings are too exhausted for a whole nother rules, sets and procedures to awaken themselves. So that's why we use universal laws now. I don't even say New Age stuff now. I say we use universal laws that work, that's based on stuff like Einstein, Dr. Emoto, Bruce Lipton, and it works, and it's simple. And you just got to get your mind. And people don't like the simplicity. They think, why is it so simple? Mm-hmm. I need to struggle to get there. So it's really about that getting in that state. Yeah,
that is so true.
What can you share from a simplistic universal law that will help shift someone's mindset?
Well, you have to go through, okay, for example, so if I was working with emotional energy in someone, so I'm working with a client, they've got anger there, I take them into it, I trigger something in them, I show them a past life that's connecting to it or a parallel life. So, and then they start to, it augments, they start to feel it. So the color shape technique is something that we say, but basically what you do in your imagination, you close your eyes, you imagine that anger as an archetype, a color shape, something, and you create distance between you and the color shape. So that distance allows divine current to move into that space and create that oscillation. When you observe something without putting your energy into it, you're just observing it. This is the same as quantum physics. They talk about when you observe wave particles. When they're not being observed, they go into a frenetic state. As soon as you look at it, it goes back into its normal state. So the simplicity of that is put into emotional energy. So when you observe it with no judgment, it will release itself, because emotions are consciousness. They are alive. You can talk to them. It's like we're talking again. So observation, acknowledgement, and divine current, that's all you need. And that's the universal law. So and to get a mindset, the mindset is really clearing the emotional body first. Then your mind will come into alignment, because then you'll go, hang on, that doesn't sound right anymore. No, I don't believe that anymore. And then you make a conscious decision not to believe anymore. So it just starts to fall away. Clear the emotions, the mind will come into alignment. It's that simple.
That makes perfect sense.
The Viridian, how do they share with you, Paul, about the, I guess I know from a multidimensional maybe, but the best phrase I could say is like the hierarchical system, if you would. Where are we in this concept of hierarchy? Are we on the lower end of dimensional energy? Are we just all running simultaneously and we're just different? Like, how are we perceived and what is our particular function here?
Yeah, well, absolutely. So we are, they call us spiritual warriors. There's many souls that will not incarnate, especially on Earth. It's one of the hardest schools. So just being here, they're in awe of us. And we're in awe of them, but they're in awe of us most of the time. And that's something we've got to understand as well. We are feeding those other dimensional, higher dimensions, because in physicality, you can have the range of emotional expression. And when you're in the when you've got that shadow duality, the experience of learning is so profound and deep that your soul is collecting all of that information on a conscious level always, and it's putting it up to the spirit. And then the spirit is having a full omnipresent awareness or experience all the time. So we are all feeding each other. And the same is like when we're stuck, we need information. We can call upon our soul or our spirit and it can manifest instantly. So it's all equality. We're all equal. You know, we're not less than. Yeah.
Why are other galaxies, other planets, other alien races so interested in elevating and awakening our humanity on Earth? When you think about it, you think, I mean, our mind can't even conceptualize the amount of vastness of space. Why are they so involved with Earth?
I'm just going to say what Spirit told me. So they basically said that Earth is, it's a very unique planet for the how you can experience emotional energy. So a lot of beings can't experience the range of the human body. Now, the human is a hybrid experiment, as far as I understand. There's a lot of spiritual collective forces involved in our collective energy. And so this Earth was also a planet that has also been involved in a lot of extraterrestrial trade, information. So there's been a lot of energy here anyway. So a lot of people used to fight over the planet. But ultimately, as far as what they've told me is that When a planet wakens up, they have to help other existing planets around them. So ETs are on every planet, right? So we're struggling. Apparently, we're the only planet in our galaxy now that is uninformed of extraterrestrial communication or the trade.
Wow.
So yeah. So we're the only one. So everyone's looking at Earth going, when are they going to wake up? You know, it's a sort of a cosmic joke, as they say. Or they're doing that again. They're repeating that pattern again, you know. but the order of all of light beings, if you've got an intention, like you're created, you'll go out to the multiverse. So when you have an intention to do something, that intention in the universal consciousness will bind frequencies. So you'll come together with a collective group and they'll go, right, we really need to go and help this galaxy. Who in that galaxy needs help? Okay, Earth at the moment. So it's not so much, it's just a choice, but on a quantum level or collective level. But ultimately, they've done a lot of damage here. So they're coming to fix their problems as well. And there's a lot of experiments going on with our DNA as well. So, I mean, it's a complex conversation, but yeah.
That is very interesting. And you said they're coming to fix their problems. So do they feel responsible for the way that things have turned out on Earth?
I think so. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. There's a lot of beings and they call the rainbow spirits. Now, when they were created, the divine feminine and masculine, and this, they came through a channeling. It was actually one of my most profound experiences, actually. Hmm. And they said that when, not all souls are created at the same time, spirits. So basically when they were created later, they're younger. And they said the feminine and masculine were in conflict at the time, because everyone thinks consciousness is perfect. And spirit said to me, well, it's not. We don't know what's happening all the time. There's a lot of things, you know, we have this perception like everything's perfect beyond it. No, not at all. So when that happened, they had all of this argument going on, their trauma, I don't know, whatever the masculine and feminine were going through at the time, but they felt abandoned. They felt unloved and they weren't given that time. So they just went out. And that's what you do. You're created. You go out and you join, and whatever, you know, whatever you're attracted to, you will join and you will learn and grow from that experience. But a lot of them got stuck here, and their souls have been trying to take them off the planet for a long time, but they keep creating karma with people, so they can't get off. And they said, we weren't on your planet, the planet would be it'd be stable. And they're the ones that have been, they're deep state people, they're other people. They also said, we're the circus freaks. We're the ones that you see walking down the street with their heads down. That don't interact. You can always sort of tell. Oh, and they're the ones that need the most love. Yeah. But there's also another beings, fourth, fifth dimensional beings that have come through. that have been playing havoc. They're a sort of macabre energy, but they're coming through now and they're realizing that they need to go back into their light, into their, because they realize they've exhausted that shadow energy now. And it's actually not giving them anything anymore. So there's a lot of shadow work and beings on here, but they're also becoming conscious that that's not their path anymore. Yeah.
You know, when you think in terms of existence, like how we live, like how we're talking right now. So let's say, for example, we want to, you know, be healthier, wealthier, but all sorts of aspects. We want the perfect embodiment, right? Is there any truth to the fact that there is a dimensional version of ourselves living the life that we want? And if that is there any sense that, or would, does it make sense for us to try to tune into that version of ourself? I know, you know, whether we call it higher self, side self, past self, future self, like how do you look at that, and how should we process those kind of thoughts?
Yeah. So again, from my how I work with that, so we'll do healing, well, we'll work, do one-on-ones, we'll do sessions, whatever. And then their parallel lifetimes will come in. And they'll be the ones that are affecting this life. Because as far as I know, from what Spirit said, right now, this timeline we're on now, we're not actually creating anything new. We're actually here to resolve stuff. So we will move into the new earth because linear time doesn't exist. It's already there. It's already in manifestation. So collecting in with those lifetimes. So, for example, a guide, we see as a guide as a separate entity, an angel or this or ascended master. But a guide in truth can come through as an angel, but really it's your own frequency. It's you in a higher form that's come to assist an aspect of itself that needs assisting. So guides are you. You are the creator of your own reality. So you can talk to those parallel lifetimes or past lives at any time, but the future ones are normally the guides. The ones we call past are the ones that are holding on to the anger, the resentment that's affecting you. So you actually do the healing on them. So we're actually in a very empowered place in this life. And I say that's to people, going into self-inquiry now, because we've got no restraints. If you did this before, it's heresy. You get burned, you get killed, you know, or you just didn't have the information to awaken or talk to people.
You are the guy.
So, yeah. Right. That is such a fascinating way to look at it. So basically, in a nutshell, all of your guys that you think are, you know, a higher level of consciousness, you know, that you're not really connected. You may be connected through, you know, your dead aunt or whatever, but they're actually parts of you that are trying to connect with you so they can release parts of their karma as well.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Because they say, look, until the last man or woman, should say man or woman, is if there's still one left on this planet, the whole planet can't evolve until that one person is ready to move on. Wow. So yes, in that sense, but I don't think it's that way, because what they've also said to me now, because we're going through this shift, a lot of people are resisting to awaken. So they said they'll have to live out their 3D reality on another planet because the Earth is now moving. She's not going to be held back. So if you go into self-inquiry now, you can ride the wave into the golden age, new age, whatever you want to call it. If not, then your body will say, okay, your soul, sorry, will say it's time to leave.
Is there another planet like us where it has inhabitants like us, where they eat, they feel, they yell at each other, scream, they love each other?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. And I've been asked, Pacific Spirit just said to me, they'll just go to other planets that can hold that vibration. That's all they said to me.
Got it. They'll just go to other planets that can hold it.
So what do they see ultimately for Earth? How do they see it from their perspective of what it's going to look like or you know, evolve to?
One thing they said, because about the conspiracy theories, they said the Earth is going to move back into the galaxy where she should be, and she's going to be bright like she used to be. She basically said that Earth shines brighter than a lot of planets. So that's why a lot of people come to the Earth, because it's like a fly to a moth to a flame. They're like, wow, what's going on? So basically just said it's going to shine bright again like it was. That's its intention. So the Earth is now waking up from adolescence. She has been denying the sun, which is the awakening, because there's been so much war in the name of the Father and the Son through religion. So we program her, she programs us. So now that frequency is shifting, and that's why you've got all these volcanic eruptions, her emotional body churning now, it's letting go. And so we have to move into that vibration with her. And so she will be bright and shiny again, as that's their words verbatim. So I didn't ask more.
I love it. Wow, that's pretty cool, man. So, wow, this is amazing. Alignment modality. I mean, you know, tell me about that concept, alignment modality. What is that even like? How do you wrap your head around that one?
And it's patented as well.
It's what, sorry?
The process is patented.
Yes. Well, got the name patented and stuff, you know, because like in our field, you know, lots of people steal stuff all the time, so I really get it patented. So basically, it's channeled. So they said there's four parts to the transformation. So the first part is really about the conscious mind, the ego. I'm just highlighting here. There's a lot to it. And there's some activations. We do a bit of astrology, but more healing astrology, not the mainstream stuff. And then we go into self-betrayal and inadequacy. We start to do some activations and what, not downloads, but cellular work to awaken the information to receive current. Then we go, module two is the shadow work, which I was talking about, all the vaccine removals, religious, all the stuff. Module three is really an introduction to the Sirian consciousness, which is the ancient Egyptians, but they're from Sirius, the star Sirius. So they look after our soul body while we're walking on the earth. And they're instrumental in our healing process. They have been for a millennia. So they start to come in, and then we start to work with the resequencing, which is the part of the Viridian mission. What they're doing is they're stabilizing the atom and molecule base, because there's an inefficient program that's sitting around the biofield of the human being. And they're aligning their frequency into that program is aligned. And they're also creating a force field in the sacral chakra to start drawing more of the feminine energy in, because a lot of people repel the feminine energy unconsciously, again, because of religious programming. The number 13 is the religious number. 666 is the carbon God particle. So when you repel the 666 and the 13, you're pushing the feminine away, right? So this is the cross. Shut down the third eye. The cross means conflict.
Exactly. Before we get out, you had mentioned nine chakras. Where are the other two? We know the seven center.
Yeah, so one above the head and one below the feet. So the soul star, the earth. So that's actually, those two are actually the anchor for the auric field. You can't exist here without nine chakras. Mm-hmm. Then you've got loads of others, obviously. But the nine chakras is the galaxy that we live in. It's the realms that we live in.
That's cool.
The fourth part is really your connection to the unseen. And that's a very subjective experience. There's more activations, lots of things going on. But that's really your unique marriage and union with what you believe is unconscious and divine feminine masculine energy. So,
if somebody joins the program, are they joining all four parts of it?
So once they come on, you can do all four parts, but it's normally spread over about 18 months because you need integration.
Right.
And there's a processing. And Spirit said it's got to be that way because they have to align that way because it's a process. So,
fantastic.
And they have to unprogram themselves.
Right.
Exactly.
A lot. That's a lot. Yeah. You actually got to rewind the tape on you, right?
Yeah.
Wow. Man, you're a super gifted guy, man. It's really such a privilege to meet your spirit in this lifetime. It really is. And we want to thank you for your service and you know, the dedication that you're doing to, you know, for other people and helping them have a better existence in life. So much love to you, brother, for doing that.
If you want to hear more, make sure to check out his channel on the Gnostic TV network.
Yeah, definitely on there. So thank you, brother. Any final words before you love and leave everybody?
No, thank you very much. It's just lovely to talk with you guys. And it was a great interview. Really enjoyed it.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for being on Spiritually Raw. It's a great, really good way to communicate, talk. You guys, great energy. It's been really good. And I feel, I've had chills over my body the whole time. So
it's awesome. I love it.
Thank you.
Right back at you.
Thank you so much. And together with Paul's help, we are turning the universal key to global harmony and creating a unified world. Thank you so much for tuning in. And remember, tune in often, tell all your friends, and most importantly, may all your dreams come true. Many blessings.